Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast here on this Tuesday, July the 3rd. We are going to be talking a little bit about Daily Fantasy Baseball for you today, how we're building our lineups, or my lineups. Of course, I'm Dan Bach. Thanks for being here with me, and hopefully you had a good night last night in DFS. Not my finest hour. I didn't have Dodgers, and I didn't have Lindor in my handful of lineups. So if you didn't have those guys, it was going to be tough to have a big, big payday. But tonight, the beautiful thing about Daily Fantasy is we start all over. There's a new puzzle to figure out, and we will do our best to solve it. Big thanks to Fantasy Draft. Make sure you head on over there both tonight for baseball and, of course, golf. Coming up this weekend, just a ton of fun over there. Again, I love their product. Their game offerings are very different than you see in the other sites. Players first is their mentality. And be sure to check them out. Again, in golf, your lowest score is eliminated. So that's nice. So if one guy doesn't make the cut, you're not necessarily drawing dead over on Fantasy Draft. So check them out for the Greenbrier coming up this weekend in golf. And, of course, for baseball, again tonight. Last night, of course, the big news was DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Golden State Warriors. Now they've got five All-Stars on their starting lineup potentially. Now Boogie's not going to be ready until probably January at the earliest. So, you know, the contract makes a lot of sense, obviously, for the Warriors. They get an All-Star, you know, All-NBA type player for what, under $6 million? It's kind of insane that it actually worked itself out that way. But they're not even going to need him. You know, they don't need him. So therefore, if he is hurt, if he's kind of a locker room issue, they can just kind of cut him and move on. They've already won without him a ton. So it's just kind of like, great, we've got him if we need him. If we don't need him, then, you know, smell you later, Boogie. And obviously, the parity in the NFL or in the NBA, it's kind of a joke right now, but thank goodness we still have daily fantasy and gambling, because if we didn't, really watching that league on a night-to-night, week-to-week basis, you know, as you climax towards an NBA championship, kind of not worth it. I mean, because we kind of know how the outcome is going to happen. Now, obviously, injuries can take place. A lot of things can happen along the way, but I don't think it's great, quote unquote, for the sport to necessarily have it, especially to this magnitude. I mean, man, the Eastern Conference, it is just dreadful. It's like Boston and Philly, and that's about it. Now, next year's going to be a little bit more interesting because you're going to have Kawhi Leonard be a free agent. You'll have a healthy Boogie Cousins, and I'm sure a few other players will be coming on the market. But for this next season, you know, barring, you know, and that's the crazy thing. I'd say barring injury, but I think it's like barring multiple injuries there for Golden State, because like if they lose Clay or they lose Steph or they lose Durant, they lose, don't get Cousins back, they're not really drawing dead. And Draymond, they probably have to lose two of those guys to have too much of a concern. But nonetheless, it's an entertaining sport, I think, for DFS and for gambling. So we've got that to fall back on. So thank you. The world of DFS and gambling, because, you know, you're going to make that sport a lot more entertaining, I think, moving forward. But baseball tonight, let's get into it here today. And I'm going to kind of attack this a little bit differently rather than going by position tonight, because this is kind of an interesting slate. Well, obviously, you know, attack the starting pitchers here, and then we'll kind of go through, you know, maybe how I'm looking at potentially building my lineups, because I think it actually all starts with starting pitching tonight. You know, we've got Clayton Kershaw on the high end of things at 12K on DraftKings, 10.6 on FanDuel, Fantasy Draft at about 23,000. The question is, do we need to play him? You know, this is obviously a nice pitching environment out there in LA, especially in a night where I'm seeing over 100 degree temperatures potentially out there in Texas today. So that is insane. We saw the Dodgers put up a mess of runs last night. Obviously, they could do that again against Ivan Nova maybe tonight. Kershaw, minus 248, strongest favorite. But how deep is he going to pitch in this game is still a legitimate question. This is his second start off of the injury. The first one against the Cubs. It's second start because he came back there for a little bit in December and then missed about most of the month of June. Played on the 23rd against the Mets for 3 innings, the 28th for the Cubs for 5 innings, and they're saying that he should throw, according to Roto World, 80 to 85 pitches there against the Pirates. Now, last game against the Cubs, you know, he only gave you 18 fan draft DraftKings points. I don't think we can quite go up to that level of paying that number for a guy that, you know, might get us into the 20s. Might. Especially in a night like tonight, because, again, look at these hitting environments that we have today. We've got 92 degrees out there in Kansas City. We've got 91 degrees out there in Colorado. We've got 101 out there in Texas. We got 89, 90 degrees out there in Cincinnati. We've got some potential maybe rain spots out there in New York and Philly. Those temperatures there in the low 80s in New York, high 80s out there in Philadelphia. So we've got some really outstanding hitting environments. We've got crappy pitchers on this slate, like Lucas Giolito is throwing today. So I'm just sitting here thinking to myself that, you know, paying up for pitching doesn't really seem like the way to go. In cash games, you can always make that argument, especially in a single pitcher site like FanDuel. Like, there's really not going to be, I can't imagine Kershaw's just going to get wrecked here by the Pirates. I don't think that's going to happen. But I just can't think that the upside is going to be there in him today. So I think he is a fade today. And honestly, in my tournaments on Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, I just don't see me spending much on any pitching today. The other, you know, 10K options that we have are Zach Greinke at 10-9 on DraftKings. Over on Fantasy Draft, he is sitting at 21-5. FanDuel, he's at 10-1. And then Jack Flaherty in that same game, Arizona and St. Louis at 10-1. On DraftKings, 19-6 on Fantasy Draft, and 8K on FanDuel. I think the 8K on FanDuel on Flaherty is awfully interesting for sure, because he's definitely a guy who has big strikeout upside. But Arizona's going to be throwing a number of left-handed bats at him, and I just don't know if it's a priority for me to kind of go up and get him today. So I like playing on the two pitcher sites best, FanDuel. With their single pitcher site, of course, we've got our single entry series there. I'll be tossing a lineup in that. Make sure you do get your entry in on that, by the way, because that will sell out. And the goal of that is, of course, getting the best scores all week long. So we're going to have different price points on that, and then we keep track. So therefore, it's tallying your success in single entry contests. So it's not just, you know, a variable, oh, you won one contest, you're the best single entry player. Not quite. It's going to basically take your scores throughout the week, and I think tabulate your top, you know, four or five, and then we'll see who will win that additional cash prize. So check that out over on FanDuel. We've got notes on that on RotoGrinders and on FanDuel as well. But for the two pitcher sites, I'm kind of living in that middle tier today, and, you know, it's weird to say this, but, you know, I think Chris Bassitt today against San Diego is a guy that I'm going to look at and consider using. He's coming off a great start his last time out against Detroit, where he had 23 DraftKings fan draft points. The Ks are not super high, but not bad. I mean, in his four starts that he's had so far this season, he's only given up one home run. The walks have not been too much of an issue. I don't know where my walks suddenly were. I thought they were on my page, but I don't see him here. But it doesn't look to be too much of an issue this season. But two out of his four starts in the 20 DraftKings points. His rough starts happened against L.A. and the Chicago White Sox. But I love the hitting environment, sitting in the 60s. I love the San Diego Padres. Lineup does not strike a whole lot of fear in me. Vegas's perspective on this game is a pretty strong favorite at minus 153 against Clayton Richard. So the implied run total, you know, sitting there at 3.67 for San Diego. I like Chris Bassett. I think he's a guy that you should be using in your two lineup spots tonight on DraftKings and Fantasy Draft. And, you know, the Plate IQ premium score on him is, let's bring that up right now. It's certainly not one of the best that we have out there, but when you look at factor in ballpark, you factor in weather, and you factor in opponent, I think I can overlook it a little bit today. So Chris Bassett, definitely a guy that, you know, I'm looking to roster in a number of my lineups. The other way you could go, if you're looking to save, could be Ryan Yarbrough with Tampa. Now, this is risky. I've only tried it once this season, and it completely blew up in my face. You know, Stanek is going to get the start, and then Yarbrough is going to come in behind him. And last time that happened against Houston, he pitched his butt off. I mean, he went for six innings. He did give up seven hits, but only one earned run that came on a home run, and finished with, 15 DraftKings points and 32 FanDuel points. Problem is, he's not like 4K. If he was in that 4K range, I think you could make an argument for him, but he's 6,200 tonight. So I think it's a little bit tougher to want to press that button, because we've also had games where he's only pitched three innings. Then he had a five and a six and a seven. So he's kind of all over the map. You know, if you get a one or a three inning performance from him, you're going to be hating yourself for going this route. If he gives you six or seven at that price against a not so great Miami lineup, he could be, pay that number off. So don't really see me having to go there today, but I don't mind the matchup against Miami. The other guys that I'm really looking at, Zach Wheeler today against Toronto, he has turned things around. If you look at our Plate IQ premium reports, the one thing that I've certainly have noticed here is that he's going in and inducing a lot more ground balls, which is inducing a lot more soft contact, and that's resulted in pretty good numbers. The velocity is up just a tick, not a whole lot, but the numbers, you know, from a fantasy perspective, he has been 17 fantasy points or more in four out of his five starts. One start it didn't happen was on the road in Atlanta. Sometimes a pretty tough ballpark to pitch in out there. Definitely favors the bats. But today, against this Toronto lineup, doesn't scare me a whole lot. You know, lefties you have to worry about there. You got Granderson at the top. You got Justin Smoke. But they're going to roll out a number of right-handed bats. And I like the trends that I'm seeing in Zach Wheeler today. So he's definitely a guy that, you know, I'm looking to put in my lineups. 8,100 over there on DraftKings. On Fantasy Draft, he is 16-1. So don't mind him one bit. I think there's a case to be made for DeScalfani in tournaments. He's not a great pitcher, okay? I want you to realize that. But he does get an upside matchup today against the White Sox. Tons of Ks available in that lineup. And he hasn't been horrible in that setting. 6-3-4-6-5 over his last five starts this season. Another guy who should be a monster, not a monster, but a big favorite, and he is at minus 188 today. Another guy I wish he was like 1,000 cheaper than he is today, but sometimes that DraftKings algorithm kind of knows. So 76 on DraftKings, 14.5 on Fantasy Draft. Again, these are the targets for me as I look to pay down. And then last but not least, do you have the stones to roster a guy who just cannot strike people out, or early in the year could not strike people out? And I'm talking about Alex Cobb. He gets Philadelphia today. He's the bargain basement price of 4,500. The question is, can he give you a seven-inning performance? The last two of the last three starts, he has done that, finished with 22 and 12 fantasy points. Also had a 27 fantasy point game against the New York Mets a little bit earlier. Philadelphia, obviously a lineup that does have some punch in it from time to time, but not one that, you know, this isn't the Boston Red Sox or the Houston Astros here. So I think Alex Cobb, again, very risky. I would never touch it in cash. But on a day where I want to load my lineup with 5 and 6K guys from games with 100-degree temperatures and high humidity, I think Alex Cobb could be in the discussion today. I might hate myself for saying that, but it's all about price per dollar for me, and I don't really see the upside in really going to Greinke, even Flaherty that much, and Kershaw, when I can go down all the way to the bottom and get the Coors Field exposure that I want, get the Houston exposure that I want, because those are the teams that I'm really looking to target today. So for me, it's a pay down at starting pitching, and you really hope Kershaw, you know, he's only going to pitch 5-6 innings. Hopefully he doesn't strike out 10. If he doesn't do that, you should be in good shape. Greinke and Flaherty, nice players, but still kind of limited upside in both these guys. I mean, we've got a ceiling on them at, 25 on Flaherty and 30 on Greinke in terms of DraftKings fan draft points for us in our projections today. So, you know, when you can... You go to Chris Bassitt, who is 6,300, and we've got an actual higher ceiling in our projections for him today at 4,000 cheaper than Flaherty. I think that makes that decision a little bit easier. So that's the way I'm looking at pitching today. Let's now move on to the bats. Normally, I break it down kind of position by position, but I'm going to go more game by game here. And we got to wait on the weather, obviously, out there in New York. But if all things clear, you can't go wrong with Giancarlo Stanton here. I mean, he gets a lefty. Newcomb is certainly not a gas can by any stretch. He's been pretty solid so far this season. But the numbers for Stanton versus lefties are just incredible. You know, this season, this season, the contact WOBA is 687, the regular WOBA is 485, and the ISO is 444 versus left-handed pitching in 93 plate appearances. And that's not too far off from what we've seen for him, last season. So he is just an outstanding hitter against lefties, the best in the league when you consider power. And you know, Newcomb, young pitcher, been pretty good. The xFIP about 4.19. But Stanton should be a priority play if you can make him work. And same could be said for Judge and even Aaron Hicks. If he leads off today, you know, not a guy that I love spending up on. And, on FanDuel, he's 3,700. On DraftKings, he's 46. Fantasy Draft, 92. But, you know, stacking some of those right-handed bats against lefties is not the worst move there. Even a guy like Gleyber Torres has done really well against lefties, a 3.23 ISO so far this season. So I like the Yankees side of that. I'm kind of off of Atlanta here. Domingo German, he's nothing special, of course. Has neutralized lefties pretty decent so far this season to a tune of 2.92 weighted OBA over the last couple seasons. We're looking at same number, about 2.92. He didn't have a whole lot of appearances last year. So not really looking too much at Atlanta in this game. Baltimore and Philly, I think if you're looking for maybe a value bat here today, dare I say we take a shot on Chris Davis for 2,400 on FanDuel, Fantasy Draft 54, and DraftKings 3K. The guy is not good, I get that, but he, you know, had a couple of homers, you know, about a week ago, a little less than a week ago on the 27th and the 28th versus Seattle. And the one thing we know about Eflin is his struggles do come versus left-handed bats. So if you're looking for a value piece, if you are spending up, obviously you get big upside in a guy like him, assuming he actually makes contact and hits it far. But the dude has just been miserable all season long. The next pace that I'm looking at bats here today, Cincinnati against Lucas Giolito. The one thing that I feel is almost certain here in this matchup is Giolito is going to allow a home run. He's done that in each of his last six starts. In three of those six, he's allowed multiple home runs. And, you know, Cincinnati didn't get it going last night against James Shields. Obviously pretty disappointed there. Thought it was going to be a great night. Had some Scotty Schebler in my lineup. Leads the game off with a home run. And then not much else after that. But you talk about, you know, warm temperatures, you know, upwards of 90 degrees out there in Cincinnati. A high implied run total today for the Reds. I'm looking directly at them as a source of some power here today. They had some opportunities too. They had the bases loaded at least once, maybe even twice yesterday, and couldn't get it done. Maybe a better spot for Joey Votto today. Tucker Barnhart, I think if you're playing cash on DraftKings and you need a catcher at under 4K, if he's batting second here tonight, definitely makes a little bit of sense. The other game to look at here, Houston and the Rangers. Now, we got to see if George Springer's back in the lineup. I think he came in as a pinch runner on Sunday, so I'm guessing he's going to return. But, you know, we're talking about crazy heat out there in Texas. These are the games that you kind of dream about. And especially with Austin Bibbins Dirks on the mound for Texas, I feel like Houston's just going to, you know, everybody is in play. And the thing about them that's interesting, too, is the bottom of that order is pretty cheap. You got Reddick at 3.7, you got Marwin at 3.3, you got Stassi at 3.5, and you got Tony Kemp at 3.7. Now, I'm not saying you're stacked the bottom of that with, you know, high-priced pitching, because I don't love high-priced pitching today, and none of those guys are huge, huge bats. But if you want to piecemeal a couple of those guys in there with an Altuve, with a Bregman who's been red hot, with Evan Gattis at the catcher position, a couple of home runs last time out, I don't think that's the worst move out there. I think Houston's a team, you know, I'm a believer in this offense, and in this sort of temperature, in this sort of weather environment, I'm all about it. Next, let's go to Colorado and San Francisco. I mentioned yesterday I was not enamored with the Colorado side of this, and it worked out pretty well. Not a whole lot of runs. The under clearly came through, but today it opens at 12 run line. We've got a 6.31 implied total for the Rockies, and they get to face Chris Stratton today. And I think tonight is the night to jump on the Rockies. Now, you know, you're gonna have to ask yourself, you know, this is going to be the highest owned team in tournament play. Do I want to try and compete with all the other Rocky stacks? And you know, sometimes you look at it and you say, nah, it's just not worth it. It's too hard to figure out the perfect lineup, and I get that. And if you're playing a $3 tournament or a $1 tournament, you know, with, 20,000, 30,000 entrants or more, I kind of understand that philosophy. But if you're playing something in the higher stakes today, I think you got to have Rockies. I think that this is the stack that, I'm looking to get in most of my lineups here today. From top to bottom, I'm expecting a big, big performance from them against Chris Stratton, who just, you know, kind of got off to a decent start. But, and he, you know, does kind of limit damage. You look at it, you know, gave up 5 runs last start against Colorado, and that was out in San Francisco. But 8 hits allowed, 9 hits allowed the last 2 starts. I'm just not that much of a believer in Chris Stratton to be able to neutralize it in this great of a hitting environment. So I love the Rockies tonight. I am on board. I'm seeing some people talk about Danny Duffy against the Indians, and the Indians typically are not nearly as good on the road as they are at home, and Duffy has started to find some form. 3 of his last 4 starts, you're looking on FanDuel scoring 46, 43, 61. On DraftKings Fantasy Draft, 25, 23, and 36. I still feel like there's some risk there in this one, but at the bargain basement price of 6K, I think you're going to see him pop on a few projection models here today. The problem you run into, though, is, again, it's just steamy. It's you know, prime hitting weather out there, and I think that's factored in this salary there with Danny Duffy at 6K. Let me see the history here for Cleveland bats against Duffy. See if we can't get this up, because they should have faced each other a good bit. And they've hit them pretty well, looking at, you know, at least some of the power numbers here. You know, Gomes, Kipnis, Ramirez, E5, Brandon Guyer, Lindor, all these guys have home runs against him. Lonnie Chisenhall, who was a late scratch yesterday, that wasn't nice, 1 for 10. Rajay Davis, 4 for 23. Lindor, 12 for 3. But Gomes, 9 for 23, a couple of home runs. Kipnis, some good numbers, lefty on lefty there. Even Brantley, 9 for 31, is not terrible. So I think there's some risk there, but at 6K, if you're looking to punt at that position, it makes a little bit of sense. I don't think I'm stacking up Cleveland today. I like these other spots a little bit better, but their bat's starting to wake up. We saw them, pretty good game last night. At least Lindor did, man. Two home runs, grand slam. It's when you close the laptop and you don't have a guy and you're playing, you know, high variant tournaments. See you later. Start again tomorrow. Oakland and San Diego. Again, if there's a side I like, it's the Oakland side of this one, but not a game that I really want to pick too much on it. You know, reasonable temperatures at 66 degrees. But we do have 15-mile-an-hour winds potentially blowing out there in Oakland. So I'll have to look into that a little bit more. But, you know, numbers versus lefties so far this season for Oakland. You know, we've got, you know, Jed Lowry with, a 328 WOBA so far this season. Mark Canha, that guy just rakes versus lefties, 420 weighted OBA. He's got 8 home runs and 82 at-bats in the 24 games this season. Chad Pinder, another one, 356 WOBA, 4 home runs and 81 at-bats against lefties. Semien, typically a guy a little bit better versus lefties. And Chris Davis, you know, not great against this handedness split at just a 283 WOBA. So if you want to, you know, a one-off here with a guy like Canha, he's at, what, 3.7 over there on DraftKings tonight on FanDuel, 2,900, Fantasy Draft, 7,700. The splits really, you know, do line up for him tonight. St. Louis, Arizona, again, this has kind of turned into a pitcher's park, so I don't project using too many of these bats against two pretty good pitchers. It feels like a 4-3 game. So for me, on spots where I see 10-plus runs, I'm not going to get too excited about. Mariners and Angels, definitely Nelson Cruz versus a lefty is in play today, and Andrew Heaney has not been pitching particularly well. So, you know, that is, you know, there's certainly spots where rules apply, and Nelson Cruz is one of those. A 441 weighted OBA, 7 home runs and just 67 at-bats versus Southpaws this season, so he is in play. And also Ryan Healy's been great in this split as well, 4 home runs and 67 at-bats versus lefties. So I don't mind either of those two guys. I also think that Kyle Seager gets a little bit overlooked, lefty on lefty. So, you know, he's a guy that you could consider. If there's a side I like here, Wade LeBlanc is pitching on the other end. It's probably going to be the Seattle side, but I don't know if I'm going to go either place. Probably just some one-offs. You know, Healy sitting at, what, 3,600 over there on DraftKings, first base eligible, fantasy draft 76, FanDuel 27. If you're piecing together, you know, some value pieces, he is a guy to throw some consideration behind. And then lastly, the Dodgers, you know, put up a mess of runs again last night. Matt Kemp. Did not have any Matt Kemp, but he had a pretty good day, to say the very least. But, you know, a guy like Max Muncy with his 423 WOBA, 13 home runs against righties and 137 at-bats, that's what I call pretty darn good. So he, Jock Peterson, even Matt Kemp have been raking against righties. I mean, man, look at this, 423, 405, 376, 368, 356, 346. Those are the weighted OBAs. The top five guys, Muncy, Peterson, Kemp, Puig, Bellinger, Grandal, and even Kike Hernandez against righties. 7 home runs and 101 at-bats. The one guy who's kind of been struggling so far this year is Justin Turner. But all in all, this offense certainly has been getting going today. Implied run total strong at 4.69. So if you want to play the hot bat narrative, you can do it. Don't have a problem with it. I think, you know, one-offs, Chris Taylor, if he leads off again at 3.7 on DraftKings, you can get Kemp under 4K. We saw what he did last night. And even Grandal at 3.8, probably some of the targets. But I'll be curious to see what kind of ownership. And it's the old, I'm going to call it the STL Cardinals narrative, where the Dodgers' bats don't hit well when Clayton Kershaw pitches. Something that we don't know if it's true or not, but it's just something that feels like it's actually taken place. So we'll see. But that is the quick rundown for you today here in Major League Baseball tonight. No short little tidy podcast for you, but it's just my thoughts in terms of how to build for tournaments tonight. And good news is, back on Thursday, I'm off tomorrow for the holiday. We will have crunch time tomorrow. That's going to be the lone media content for us tomorrow night. So check crunch time if you're looking for media content. Going to be Cheese and Roth taking care of you on the 4th of July. Hopefully Roth does not indulge in too many cocktails before crunch time. But that's going to be happening tonight, tomorrow night. Have a very safe 4th of July. Do not be driving and drinking. That is not a good thing. So have a good time, though, in your celebration of this fine country that we live in. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday for the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. See you, everybody.